The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
You're listening to the only podcast that admits they might know what they are talking about.
I hope everyone has a ball.
This is We Might Know Sports.
I love you!
With Kevin.
I think it's going to work this time.
And Corey.
You should have started reeling because I bit all over
that. And that's just facts.
Where are we at in society today? Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
We like sports and we don't care who knows!
No, forget Jesus, people!
A topic Corey might like.
You might like it, Corey. He just doesn't know.
Sounds like something a guy in a van would tell me.
Don't tell me how upset I am.
I was
felt fine afterwards, and then Yahoo agreed with me, gave me the solid A+.
Buckle up, buckaroo!
I feel like I just destroyed like my life in general.
Steep.
And here we go.
I forgot I got rid of the DMX music, so I was waiting for the I kind of knew since we were going on Twitch, I better not play any copyrighted music. They frown upon it. Actually, I got an email. So this is episode 162 for us, Corey. I think. Damn. I mean, combined, we've probably done what? 150 of them, at least.
At least.
I mean, Stefan and I did the first two by ourselves. Then you came on as a guest. And then all of a sudden, Stefan became the guest. So, who knows? Kevin is the one that's talking. Corey is the other one that's about to talk.
What's up?
We're trying Twitch out because, you know, it's something new. We already got another viewer. Look at that.
Nice.
Double what we have on Facebook right now. So maybe it's a good switch. Normally we try and do this show during the week, but, you know, life happens. Oh, it helps if I say go live on Facebook. We'll repost that video. No big deal. You didn't miss much, Facebook viewers. We're just going to... What's that?
I was going to say, if you are watching, today's episode is just going to be some football review. Or preview, I should say,
of college
and NFL. We'll go a little more in depth with our NFL previews.
Ooh, interesting. Facebook's got some other things going on. Normally, we have a lot of pick-ems going on, and we explain our picks, but, I mean, we're pretty much in the deep on the weekend, so it's kind of hard to give you picks when we already picked. Corey's got to do his NFL, so we'll get his viewpoint
live then. Yeah. I'm on it now. I didn't do the Titans-Colts game. Let's just go right into the NFL.
Bum.
I didn't do the Titans-Colts game, but I've put in my honest pick. I was going to pick the Titans anyways. Obviously, a swing and a miss. As the Titans look pretty cold these last few weeks, how are you feeling about them? After they lost to the Bengals, they barely beat, who was it last week? The Bears? Was it the Bears?
Did they win last week?
Yeah, they won, but it was ugly.
The Titans beat the Bears, yeah, 24-17.
Yeah, and then this week getting crushed by the Colts. Making Phillip Rivers the third quarterback of the year to throw for 300 yards on a Thursday nighter. The other two being Mr. Carson Wentz and Mr. Joe Burrow. So shout out to the Bengals and the Eagles.
Tampa doesn't perform well in primetime, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, we found that out, huh? We'll get to that.
You know, some things never change. I'm just going to say that.
So anyways, what are your, as we preview these teams, I know you and I were both high on the Colts going into this year. I don't know if maybe you've been disappointed, but I know I have been. I thought they were going to be better, and even having said that, they're 6-3, I think, which is not bad at all, but I thought they were going to be a Super Bowl contender, and I don't know if I quite feel that way yet, but I do think their defense is really good. And if Phillip Rivers can manage the ball and not throw it away, I think they'll beat teams like the Titans and some of the other upper tier AFC teams. I'm just not sure if they're ready for the Steelers or the Chiefs yet, or even the Ravens. What are your thoughts?
I mean, the Titans are like that team where I don't even know. I'm at a loss for where the Titans at. The Colts, at the beginning of the season, we said they were going to be the dark horse of the league. And now they're, what, 6-2, 6-3? I mean, clearly we saw things out of the Colts that we're not seeing out of the Titans. Maybe we were just riding the high from last year and how they almost made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wasn't as high on the Titans this year. I remember I picked in our preview hold on, already an emergency.
Papa Pig is very important.
I remember I can walk and talk. Ooh. I remember last year we thought that the Colts had a good offensive line and a good defense. And if they had a good quarterback, a better play than Jacoby Brissett, then they were going to make some noise. So we were riding that wave. And the Titans, to me, go as Tannehill goes. And he hasn't played that well as of late, like he did coming out the first few weeks. Because the first few weeks he was on fire. Now that he's cooling off, they seem to be cooling off. Which I don't know if I was a full-out believer in Tannehill anyways. What about you?
I think I started to believe more last year than I did this year just because of what he did last year. Last year it was like, all right, let's see what he does outside of Miami before we write him off into the sunset. Mm-hmm. And then he had the season that he did, and so I think his expectations for him were so much higher, and I feel like he's fallen below because he's not living up to what he did last year.
Which is interesting that he's falling below, because just a few weeks ago he got A.J. Brown back, who I actually view as a really good receiver. He had a great rookie year last year. Very similar stats, actually better stats than DK Metcalf even. But we saw a jump with DK Metcalf. You can argue currently, and I hear a lot of people arguing, that right now in the league he is the best receiver. You can also argue that part of that's Russell Wilson, but we'll get to Seattle later too. Yeah, the Titans, I guess, I'm starting to think they're pretenders and not contenders at this point.
Which is unfortunate because that division is so weak as is, and the fact that they can't even get back to where they were. I mean.
Yeah. And what's most disappointing to me is I was viewing Mike Vrabel as a good young head coach in this league, and I'm not writing him off. I think the Titans are still 6-3, but I don't like where the Titans are going. I don't know what's going on other than their defense definitely needs some improvement.
It's kind of interesting just to see, like, it's almost as if, like, the other teams were like, all right, we know how to deal with it now. His coaching style. So
yeah, agreed.
All right, let's move on to the Bengals Steelers. Steelers escaped Dallas last week. I mean, I watched that game and I was just in awe, especially in the first half when I think it was like 17-0. I'm like, not only is there a chance for a shutout, it's against the Cowboys. Like, is that maybe a wake-up call? Maybe they're not, or, I mean,
I don't know. I don't know what was eating Gilbert Grape that day, but it wasn't the Steelers' defense. He seemed to have plenty of time. That's Mr. Garrett Gilbert there. The what is he, the third stringer? And he had to beat out some. He had to beat out like, practice squad.
He's like 3B, something like that.
Yeah. He actually played well. But the one thing I will say is the Steelers are ranked first or second in rush defense, but they are not a great pass defense team.
Yeah.
So Garrett Gilbert throwing on them, while surprising, also not so much so, because it's not like they had tape on Gilbert's tendencies or anything. He came out of nowhere. And I think Pittsburgh suffers a little bit from the Chiefs at this point, like the same as the Chiefs. If you don't pose any kind of threat in their mind, they aren't going to give you 100%. It seemed like once they were threatened, they knew Dallas was an easy team, and they woke up in the second half. Ben threw three touchdown passes, so he got it going, and that changed the game.
It's going to be interesting to see also Big Ben in COVID protocol right now. So he hasn't been able to practice all week.
He hasn't been able to practice. He's been doing Zoom phone calls. Word of mouth is he is a go.
Yeah, the way the protocol is if you have the close contact, you have to test negative like 5 times in a row or something like that.
Yeah. So. So far, he's done so. So, barring a positive test today, Ben Roethlisberger will play. Same with Vince Williams, their outside linebacker who's been a star for them. So, if either one of them were to miss, that'd be a big blow. I don't think it would change my pick. I am picking the Steelers in this game, but I do it with a little bit of hesitancy, not only because I'm a Bengals fan, but because of what I just stated earlier. We saw Garrett Gilbert throw all over them. And Joe Burrow is a lot better than Garrett Gilbert and has been playing at a really high level. They just beat the Titans. They're coming off a bye. So they're on a high. They have plenty of time to game plan for the Steelers. Steelers haven't had a bye since week 4. The season is going to weigh on them. They are going to lose games at the end here, I think, simply because they're going to have to rest people. It's just too much to go this long of a stretch. I don't think they rest people this game, but I do think like week 13, they're going to start to sit people. So I just think Joe Burrow's deep ball and his ability to throw, the Steelers are going to have to play for real tomorrow. They better not sleep. I think they'll get surprised early and they won't be able to come back is what I'm saying. They aren't the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, Joe Burrow is on a mission to win more than 4 games this year, so
be a big... I mean, if Joe Burrow can even win 5 games, they only won 1 game last year, so that would be a 4-game improvement. Tom Brady isn't even expected to make Tampa Bay more than a 3-game improvement, mm-hmm. if that tells anything.
To be fair, a 3-game improvement will make Tampa Bay 10-6. So.
I know, but a 4-game improvement for the Bengals is 5-11. That'd be great.
Yeah,
and this would be a big one. Do we think? I guess the answer is neither one of us think the Steelers are going to sweep this game. So, what do you think the difference will be? Do you think they'll get James Conner going? Because he was totally written out of the game plan on the Cowboys. I don't understand why they did that.
My biggest issue with Cincinnati is their defense, and I just think Pittsburgh's going to be too much for them. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be whoever has the ball last.
Yeah. My other point I'll make before we move on is the Steelers have a better pass rush than the Ravens. They actually have the number one pass rush in the league. They have the most sacks. The Bengals give up the second most sacks. If you guys were paying attention and saw what happened to Joe Burrow against the Ravens, it was ugly. He was battered. I think he was hit 9 times, sacked 6. So if the Steelers pulled off that kind of performance, it's going to be bad. It's going to get really bad for the Bengals.
Uh, Sorry, apparently our audio is not working on Twitch.
Oh. Well,
how else would it go for us? It was working before I hit start streaming. So, of course it goes. Quick little edit as soon as I find it. That's the one problem with this thing is it gives me like all the options and I don't want all the options.
Okay, it gives me time to do my picks.
Alright. That didn't work.
Take your time.
Oh, because I'm doing that. So let's do this. And how about now? No. There we go. Now it's working. Oh, how about now? Which was weird because I heard the sound. That's why I just assumed, oh, it's fine. It's going to work. Apparently, it was picking up the desktop audio, but not my streaming audio. So now it should be fine. We did have a viewer. It was Ben. But now he's gone. Just like dust in the wind. All right. On to the Eagles-Giants.
On to the Eagles-Giants. One of the two games we disagree on. We're very similar this week. Do you want to start?
Yeah. The reason why I went with the Giants is just because the Giants have been, like, in the last couple of weeks, seem to be clicking. I kind of felt a little scared for Tampa going into Monday night, but They somehow managed to squeak that one out because, you know, as I said earlier, Tampa either does extremely poorly but barely squeaks out a primetime victory or they get blown out. So this one was a squeaker against the Giants. And then they went and beat Washington, right?
Yeah, another squeaker, but they got the job done. The Giants defense has definitely gotten, at first I thought they were like mid tier to start the season off, and they're inching towards upper tier defense the last few weeks, which people thought was their potential. Obviously, Danny Dimes needs to get it together a little bit and not fumble the ball away as much as he has. And the Giants could win some games.
I will say the one thing the Eagles have going for them is they're coming off a bye.
Yeah.
But I feel like right now the Giants just have such a rhythm. And the Eagles, depending on what they did on this bye, maybe lit a fire under Carson Wentz's butt. Because, I mean, dude right now is pulling Jameis Winston numbers, I think.
Yeah, I simply picked the Eagles because Jalen Reagor is going to play. He played last week, looked pretty good. You have Fulgham. The big news, Alshon Jeffrey's playing this week. So we'll see what that new wrinkle adds for Carson Wentz because he needs help because Zach Ertz has fallen off a cliff and is not the same player. Also, Miles Sanders is healthy. So the Eagles' offense should be at full go. Because Goddard is healthy too. So Wentz will have all his weapons at his disposal. So we'll see what he can do with his actual team this week. But having said that, the Giants defense is good. And can the Eagles defense really shut down the Giants offense? I don't know. Daniel Jones has some weapons. Slayton, Tate, even though he was disciplined last week, Tate will be playing this week. And obviously Sterling Shepard's looked great. And Evan Engram all of a sudden has come on a little bit for them, which is big news. I don't know what they have going on at running back. I'm not sure if it'll be Freeman or Gallman. But it'll be an interesting game if both both teams are healthy.
Yeah.
This is for the division.
Week 10 for the division. Moving on to the Bucks versus Panthers. I mean, the Panthers have been playing well. Bucks probably motivated after the embarrassment of Sunday night. So
Panthers gave a good team a scare last week. Who was it? They just lost by three. It was like 33-30.
Chiefs. But to be fair, the Panthers threw everything they got at the Chiefs. They threw a bunch of trick plays and stuff. So,
And they had Christian McCaffrey, and they do not this week.
Tampa beat the Panthers in week two, 31-17. So,
yeah.
It's kind of interesting how the schedule is set up for them. They play the Saints, and then they play the Panthers. I will say Tampa has developed a trend, good or bad. They seem to lose one, win three, lose one, win three, lose one. So maybe they're about to go on a three-game winning streak again. Who knows?
And also very rare for Tom Brady to be embarrassed and come back and throw up a second dud. I actually don't even know if I've ever seen him do that.
Not two in a row, no.
No, not two in a row. So
the last time he had a bad game, as bad as he did against the Saints, I think the Patriots went 14-2 that year. So
yeah, when they lost to the Chiefs and everyone went in panic mode because it was a Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what the heck? Because he was embarrassed. It wasn't close. Alex Smith outplayed Tom Brady that day, that night. And then, yeah, the Patriots just rolled. So am I saying this Bucks team is that Patriots team? No. But I don't expect the Bucks to throw up a dud against the Panthers.
No.
Even with the Panthers being surprising. I don't know if it's so much the Panthers. For me personally, I didn't expect Teddy Bridgewater to be this good.
Yeah.
And he played very, very well.
Now, to be, I guess, defensive of Tampa Bay and why they struggled with the Saints is because they couldn't touch Breeze. Breeze got the ball, rid of the ball too quick for them to touch him. I feel like the last time they played Teddy, that was Teddy's issue, was he was holding on to the ball too long. So that's going to be the key if the Panthers want to have a chance. Because that defense will swarm at some point. So
with, I'll just stay on the Panthers for a little bit longer. With what you've seen from the Panthers and their offense this year, which was an offense people thought wouldn't be that good, and they've actually looked pretty good, how many head coaching opportunities do you think are going to be thrown towards Joe Brady after he won the championship with LSU, came to Carolina, and makes their offense look more than capable? I don't know if he's going to be at the Panthers long term.
I'm trying to think of who would need a head coach next year.
Don't we think Dallas?
They just got theirs, though. And Jerry Jones stuck with Garrett for so long. I feel like he's got the excuse that, my quarterback got hurt in week two.
If Jacksonville takes Trevor Lawrence, that could be interesting.
Maybe the Jets.
Jets, Jacksonville. I don't think the Bengals are ready to give up on Zach Taylor yet.
Maybe the Obviously. Giants.
Yeah, and I think they like their guy because they like what they're seeing on their defensive end.
Hmm.
I don't think there's going to be a ton of coaching opportunities next year.
Chargers, maybe?
Maybe the Chargers. I have not liked what Anthony Lynn has been doing with that team.
Because last year it was always Phillips' fault. Well, Phillips gone, and you're still losing these close games.
Close games, yeah. So. And Justin Herbert, we all can see with our eyes, is a lot better than Phillip Rivers at this point in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not – I didn't think it was Phillips' fault anyways, but it's the coaching staff needs to wake up. What about the Broncos? We think Vic Fangio's fine?
Yes and no.
Underwhelmed. You and I both thought the Broncos would be much better than what they are.
I feel like they have like glimpse of hope, and then somehow they managed to blow the game. So maybe.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on before we get too much into coaches. Speaking of teams that probably are going to need a new coach, Jaguars versus Packers. And I don't think anything's going to change for them in this game. We saw Mr. Jake Luton-Free. have his debut last week in place of Gardner Minshew. And very first drive, he throws a 73-yard bomb to DJ Chark. What was impressive, another rookie quarterback out of this class, a six-rounder at that, looking good. And actually made Jacksonville competitive, which was interesting. And they played the Texans, which I know the Texans aren't great, and it was a poor defense. But anyways, Jake Luton looked good. He's going to get the second start against a much tougher team with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers has been on fire. I don't think we need to go too far in depth here. I got the Packers winning. What about you?
I picked the Packers mainly because it's against Jacksonville. Packers have shown some weakness this year. But
they're the worst run defense in the league. And James Robinson, another rookie, is, I believe, fourth in the league in rushing and has been a huge surprise considering he was undrafted out of Southern Illinois. So that could pose problems for the Packers if James Robinson can get going.
I just have a hard time seeing the Packers blow this one.
I think this one's pretty cut and dry. It would be a shocker if we have to come on next week and talk about how the Jags won.
Yeah. Moving right along to Washington Football Club versus the Lions.
Mm. This one tugged at me.
Yeah, this one was like a flip a coin type deal.
I don't like that the Lions, Kenny Galladay's out and Marvin Jones didn't look great in his place. Matt Stafford just looked okay. He didn't throw a touchdown, I don't believe, last week. I don't know. He didn't look great against the Vikings. The Vikings ran all over the Lions.
Yeah.
Do I think that Antonio Gibson, another rookie, this rookie class, by the way, is unbelievable. This is one of the best rookie classes I've seen in years. Antonio Gibson, really good rookie. He's 12th in rushing in the league. Against the Lions, can he run all over them? Maybe. Washington's defense, you and I both knew, was good coming into this year. We warned Stefan, and I think he was surprised week one when they blasted the Eagles. So their defense is fully capable to shut down the Lions, but I obviously am just going with where the talent is because I don't trust Alex Smith yet to win a game.
I don't know. Detroit's been in so many good games, and you just feel like at some point it's got to register like a win or two.
Speaking of coaches that might lose their jobs, I mean, Patricia's job is on the line.
Yeah.
And actually, that would be a perfect spot for Joe Brady. I think Matt Stafford is an enticing quarterback to team up with.
Does he stay there long enough, though, is the main...
Who, Joe?
Yeah,
I don't know. Joe Brady might love his job as the Panthers and eventually try to take over that job. Just him and Matt Rhule form an organization that's competitive for years and years to come. It's fully possible.
Sorry, I'm updating some stream info. Oh,
that's fine. I was going to move on because I don't have too much more to say on either one of those teams.
No, I mean, it has no... This is probably one of those few games where you can say right now in Week 10, this has no... impact on the playoffs.
No, unless Washington were to win, and then I guess they stay in the race with the NFC least.
Yeah. I will say it's funny. We already talked about both these teams, so I want to bring it up. Right now, if the season were to end in the current playoff format, Tampa would be going to the Eagles for a game, the first round playoff game. There are new contingencies I believe they were approved by the owners. If games end up getting canceled towards the end of the season, they would make it a 8-team playoff this year. So,
yeah, I saw that. And the way, if your guys are watching the news, COVID is spreading at a very rapid rate. And we're seeing this mostly in college football.
Kevin and I,
yeah, when we got to when we get to there, we'll talk a little bit about it. I tried to pick some games and it was difficult this week. A lot of cancellations.
Yeah, I was going through the list last night and I was like, oh, there's another one. Like,
yeah.
I was just trying to find a replacement game and I found one that had gotten called.
So moving on, Texans Browns. Texans just, unfortunately, don't have a lot of weapons for Deshaun Watson, even though he was able to pull out a win against the weak Jaguars last week. And then the Browns seem to be a mid-tier team. They can beat the teams they're supposed to, and they can't beat the good teams.
Yeah.
So having said that, I have them beating the Texans because it's a team that they should win against. Nick Chubb, big news, coming back. So that'll help their rush offense. Baker just has to manage the game. That's all he really is at this point, is a game manager, I believe. No Odell. He seems to play better without Odell, which I know people don't want that as the narrative, but it's true. I think he focuses too much on Odell when he's playing, trying to keep him happy. When he can spread it around to who he wants, he seems to play looser and more free. And the Texans defense, let's just call it what it is really bad. It's particularly against the run. And you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt coming into town. It could get ugly quickly.
Quickly.
You and I seem to be on the same page. What were your thoughts?
I just don't see the Texans. I mean, they're basically a team without a head coach this year. Their team, there's another possibility. See, all we had to do was just go through all the teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you got
that. I think that, not to cut you off, but a team with a young quarterback that Joe Brady might be interested in developing and building around if he were to get offered a head coaching job. I think that would be actually a really nice pairing. There's not a lot of weapons, it seems, from the outside looking in on the Texans, but everyone felt that way about the Panthers, and look what he's been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a really interesting spot for him.
Not to mention, I mean, you're, what, just a couple of receivers away? They don't even have to be that great.
Will Fuller proven he's a number one receiver. Mm-hmm.
Just needs someone to take the double coverage off of him on the other side.
So any thoughts on the Browns? They're going to make the play most likely and probably get outed in the first round would be my guess.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the Browns before. They're the team that can beat the teams that are about their level and will get blown out by anyone better than them. So it's not saying that there's a lot of teams better than them, but I'm pretty sure there's at least six. So
at this point, if the Browns just make the playoffs, is that a success for them? And then they need to build on that going into next year? Do you feel like that?
When's the last time they've been?
Well, I think it's one of the longest droughts, isn't it?
Well, let's do a quick Google. Longest playoff droughts. NFL. Cleveland Browns. Yeah, 2020. I know Tampa's in there too. Cleveland, 17 seasons.
Yeah.
Last time they were in the playoffs, George Bush was in office. 2002 wild card.
Yep.
Tampa is 12 years removed. 2007 NFC wild card.
Probably the last time the Browns made it, they had Jamal Lewis. Do you remember him? The running back.
Yeah. Didn't he go to Baltimore?
Yeah, he went on to Baltimore and had a great year, great career there too. Anyways, that's enough. I don't like talking about the Browns. They're my least favorite team.
Who do you think's third?
As far as playoff drought?
Mm-hmm.
The Lions?
Nope.
The Jaguars?
No, Lions made it in 2016.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Stafford's had a couple good seasons.
Who was the other one you said there?
I said the Jaguars.
Jaguars made it 2 years ago to the AFC Championship.
Oh, yeah, that's right, with Blake Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and I know the Jets made it because of the butt fumble and all that.
The Jets is the third one.
Oh, they are the third
one? 9 seasons ago. 2010. Oh,
that was that long ago. Okay.
So.
All right.
I just want Tampa to get removed from that list.
Moving on to a game that I think could be fun to watch. I don't really care much about it, but
Battle of the Rookies.
Battle of the Rookies. It's interesting. Justin Herbert played Joe Burrow at the beginning of the year and pulled out a win. Tua and Herbert play right now. And in 2 weeks, Tua and Joe Burrow go against each other. So we will literally see every of the top three rookie quarterbacks in this class, every matchup possible, which is super fun to me because it's the future of the league. It's looking like, because I was iffy on Tua, I'll admit.
Still iffy.
He's kind of small. And normally when you're great, there's something that like stands out fully about you. And I will say he has one quality that stands out. He throws maybe the most accurate ball in all of the NFL already. That was known though. Like, that's not surprising because it was known. That was the word out that this guy is ridiculously accurate with the football.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw over 70% last week and looked pretty good against a pretty stout Cardinals defense. I thought it was super impressive, and it was a fun game between him and Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, also the future of the league. But other than that, nothing physically stands out about Tua. He's not particularly quick. I guess he's quick enough. But on the other side of the ball, you have Justin Herbert, and there's something physically that does stand out. The guy has a cannon for an arm. And is going to be something to deal with for a long time to come, especially as he figures out the mental aspect of the game. And maybe even with new coaches. We'll see how that goes. So Tua versus Herbert. I went Tua not because of Tua, but because the Dolphins defense is ridiculously good. And Brian Flores has my vote for coach of the year at week 10. He's a part of the Belichick tree. He believes in developing two good corners because this is a passing league. So if he can shut down your pass, he's daring you to run on him. And it's working.
Quite well.
Yeah.
I
think wished his defense could have been this year, but he had all those opt-outs on the defensive side of the ball, and Belichick is scrambling.
Yeah. I went with the Dolphins because of what we talked about earlier with the Chargers and how they just can't seem to break through at the end. So,
gotta be disappointing because that's your secondary team.
Mm-hmm.
But the Panthers are mine, and I'm disappointed too. So,
moving right on to the Raiders Broncos. I mean, we talked about the Broncos earlier, so no surprise. We were both picking the Raiders just because, I mean, it's in Las Vegas, and I just don't see the Broncos all of a sudden resolving their issues to be an in-division opponent.
Yeah, I got it, because also John Gruden has the Raiders playing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense always seemed like it was missing something. John Gruden last year, they drafted Henry Ruggs, and then they got Nelson Aguilar, who wasn't much of anything with the Philadelphia Eagles, but with the Raiders has played extremely well and has become their number one receiver. And those kind of players are taking the top off the defense, and it's totally changed not only Derek Carr, who looks really good this year, but also their offense in general, because we know they have the run game with Josh Jacobs and a great offensive line. Them and the Colts have the two best offensive lines. We all know that. So you give Derek Carr some time and you get some players that can run. You give him some time and some players that can take the top off of defense, and he's going to look good.
Yeah. Moving right on to the Bills, coming off a big win over the Seahawks. Russell Wilson, 4 turnovers. I'm riding high on the Bills. I'm taking them over the Cardinals. I wasn't impressed with the Cardinals and their loss to the Dolphins, so I think that's why I'm taking them.
I'm going with the Cardinals because I don't trust Josh Allen. He seems like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of player. And I don't know, he makes me nervous. The first, 3-4 weeks, everyone was saying Josh Allen, MVP. And then it went downhill quickly, and he became the Josh Allen that I know. So I'm going to go with Kyler. I like the way Kyler has played, but he does need to start to take care of the ball better. That's going to be the next step in his development. I know a lot of people say the Cliff Kingsbury offense is also very predictable. He does a lot of dink and dime stuff, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere we'll throw a bomb to Christian Kirk. That basically seems to be what they're doing. And their run game is not good. Chase Edmonds nor Kenyon Drake have lit the world on fire. So you know you have to stop Kyler Murray. He is their leading rusher. He is their leading passer. He is their leading touchdown scorer. He is their everything. Could be a tough day for DeAndre Hopkins. Tre'Davious White is one of the best corners in the league and has shut down numerous wide receivers this year. So it will be up to Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald to get the job done.
I will say last week they did prove that they don't need to rely on Hopkins as much. So
no, because they did the same game plan. Who'd they play? Oh, the Dolphins. The Dolphins made sure they put their corner, Xavier Howard. They made him blanket Hopkins all game, and it worked. Yeah. He only had 30 yards.
And then we go to New Orleans over the 49ers. I don't think we need to spend too much time about this. The Niners are crippled right now. They lost Garoppolo again, right?
Yeah, Garoppolo's out for the year. Kittle's out for the year. They are getting – no, Mostert's out. So they have to rely on Brandon Ayuk and Nick Mullins and a bunch of hodgepodge running game. We just saw the Saints blast the Bucs. I mean, there could be a chance for a letdown, but I'm not buying it.
No, their defense is too good. Even if their offense struggled against San Francisco's defense, I think they still have enough in them to at least win like 17 to 10 or something.
Yeah, I mean, Alvin Kamara is a top three running back this year, as much as I hate to say it because I was arguing with Stefan earlier in the season before the season started about his value, but he is proving me wrong this year, especially with Drew Brees looking like he can't throw a ball past 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. Do we see Jameis? Well, since we don't have too much else to say, do we see Jameis next year for the Saints? Do you think Drew Brees retires?
He was so annoying after the game. He threw one pass for 12 yards and he's eating his W again. Like, I don't know if you saw any of the aftermath in the locker room, but yeah, he's ridiculous. I mean, it's tough to say, especially with Taysom Hill.
And they paid Taysom a lot of money. So there's question marks about do they run Taysom Hill out there next year.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting. I will say the Bucs held Kamara to 40 yards.
Yeah, didn't he just receive a lot?
He had 5 catches for 9 yards. So.
Oh, 9. So they shut them down.
Yeah, they shut them down, but unfortunately, they couldn't shut anyone else down. He also got a touchdown, rushing touchdown, too. But I think it was at the end of the game anyway. So.
Yeah. Moving on to a game that does have bearing on the division. Seahawks-Rams.
For my sakes, I hope the Rams win. Mainly because they play Tampa next week, and I don't want them to come in with a loss. But, I mean, I'm taking the Seahawks because they're coming in off of a loss to the Bills. And it's very rare that you see Russell have two bad games in a row. He's like Tom Brady.
Correct. Russell and Patrick Mahomes are the standard for me, personally. I think they're the two best quarterbacks in the NFL currently. And while the Seahawks defense is horrendous, dead last, and the Rams, I really like King Goffrey, but I just think Seattle will be too much. I could be wrong. Maybe Aaron Donald this game's tough.
It's a division game. You never know.
Donald gets through and gives Russell some problems. And then with the offense that the Rams possess with Cooper Kupp, Goff, and Robert Woods, and they have other weapons, it could be closer than what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close because, I mean, the Rams even struggled with the Bills. And then they had a huge comeback only for it to get blown by the Bills scoring a touchdown. But
yeah,
I mean, have they played each other yet? I don't think they have. But
The Rams are a team that has given Russell Wilson problems in the past.
Because they don't really have an offensive line, so.
Well, and Pete Carroll in general. I mean, Sean McVay is just as good as Pete Carroll at this point. I don't think you're going to see either team get out-coached. It's going to be up to the players to get the job done on the field. So that'll be an interesting play out.
Yeah. I'll be watching that one, that's for sure.
Moving on, Ravens, Pats. This, I don't know what the spread is, but it should be like 13.5 because the Pats are going to get just stomped. Lamar's not playing well this year. Everyone knows that. There's no passing game for the Ravens, but it doesn't matter because the Pats, all they do is shut down the pass. So the Ravens are winning without that anyways.
Baltimore is only favored by 7.
By 7. And then Cam Newton showed signs of life last week. Again, he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass since week 3. But he keeps running, and he keeps getting rushing touchdowns.
2 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
It's horrible. But how many rushing touchdowns on the year does he have?
Rushing, he has 8.
Yeah, so...
Just to put that into context, his career high was his rookie year in 2011 with 14.
Yeah, and I think he's on pace. He'll get something like that this year. But I think his rookie year, he probably threw for 20 touchdowns, and he will not be sniffing that this year.
21.
Yeah, he'll be lucky to have 10 at the current pace. To be fair, he doesn't have much on offense. And obviously the game plan is just utilize Cam Newton. I don't have too much to say other than the Ravens are going to stomp the Pats out. And my other question is, because he's my favorite player, I want to talk about it a little bit. What is the market for Cam Newton next year? Because I don't think the Pats re-sign him after what they've seen. Is Cam out of the league? Does he have to relegate to a backup, which is something that I don't think he'll digest well? I don't even think he'll do it. So where will he be? What will he be doing? Will he be not playing?
You know what? If Drew Brees retires, I see him going on the Saints. because Peyton is just that type of coach.
Well, and I think if you had Michael Thomas and some of those weapons, Cam can actually throw some touchdowns.
Yeah. And you can get them cheap, too.
Yeah, you can get them cheap, especially because he hasn't wowed anybody this year, other than his arm is healthy. He can throw laser beams. That's still what he does. All right. You heard it here first, Cam on the Saints if Drew Brees retires.
That'd be hilarious, too, because he's got to play the Panthers twice.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Monday night. Yeah. I'm not excited.
Honestly, there's like one. I'm not excited. There's like one Monday night left. I went through the rest of the Monday night games, and there's one left where I think both teams have winning records, and that's next week with the Rams and Bucks.
Mm. That's sad.
Mm-hmm. But it always happens with Monday night. I wish they could flex a game.
The Bears have a great defense, and it is going to waste because of how pitiful the offense is. It does win them some games that they shouldn't, like when they beat the Bucks. They surprised another team. Just the Bucks come to mind because they were like an overwhelming favorite going into that game.
Oh, I lied. The week 14 Monday night is Browns-Ravens.
Oh, that could be interesting. It probably will have playoff implications for the Browns at that point.
Man, the NFL really swung and unfortunately struck out with the last Monday night game, too, because it's Bills-Patriots.
Oh, yeah, because they probably thought that'd be going for the division, and it looks like it'll be Dolphins-Bills.
Yep.
Vikings-Bears. I just said it. Bears have a great defense. Their offense is horrible. The bigger story to me is Dalvin Cook fully establishing himself as the best running back in football. Last year, he looked great.
What, did he have like 36 fantasy points last week?
Something ridiculous. Last year, he was great. He was behind Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb in rushing, but he was phenomenal. All three of those guys were phenomenal. And then this year, he is way ahead. Like I said, he has established himself as the top running back in the league. And the Bears have a great defense, so what happens? Are the Bears going to do just enough, like they sometimes do, to get a win? Or is Dalvin Cook too good? I took the Bears. I think they will shut down Dalvin Cook, and I don't trust Kirk Cousins. Everyone knows if you watch this podcast. I think Kirk Cousins is right there with Mitch Trubisky, and he sucks. He hasn't done anything to change my mind this year. So I'm going with the Bears.
The Bears haven't looked too bad, and I think a couple weeks ago I told you, like, at some point I'm going to just pick Bears all the time because I'm tired of picking against them. And
yeah.
It started last week, and it's continuing on this week. So that's my reason for that.
All right, and a quick recap. I am only a 3-game lead on you in Pick'em.
Yeah, keeping it close this year.
We are close.
If I actually did the same picks, I would have only gotten 6 last week as our pick'em on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not, and so I went 10-4. So it's just like I gotta decide like one of these ones. I think I've pretty much given up on the ESPN one, I'm not gonna lie. Our preseason picks though, 83 each.
Nice. That means we kind of knew what we were talking about going into the year. And normally it's me. You and Stefan normally on your preseason are pretty close, and I'm always really bad.
Yeah. So. Stefan had that bad week, I think.
Yeah.
Two or three where he only got 3 right. So.
Yeah.
That's where he's struggling at.
Let's move into the COVID mania.
Dun, dun, dun. Just to give you some updates, Notre Dame was down, but now we're up 24-13. think they were down 13-10, scored 2 touchdowns, so we'll see how that goes.
Since we only have a quick little preview here of our games that we picked, did you want to talk about Notre Dame's upset of Clemson last week? Surprised? I know you took Clemson. Any thoughts?
I'm not necessarily surprised. I mean, you're playing without your starting quarterback. I took Clemson just on I need to gain on you. So I was like, this might happen. So,
having said that, though, the freshman phenom played just fine. I don't think Trevor could have played any better than that.
No. I think it's more of like a moral thing, though, for the team. When you see your leader, you kind of stand up a little more for him.
I had a quick take on it. I was telling somebody, well, quite a few people at work, because for those of you who don't know, I'm in South Carolina, and I'm pretty much surrounded by Clemson fanfare. So I pay attention to Clemson, just to see what they're doing. And also being a big DeAndre Hopkins fan, he went there. Anyways, the last 2 weeks with the freshman quarterback, he has played great. But Travis Etienne, who a lot of people think is the number one running back in all of football, has struggled mightily. So there's some questions on why that would be. And my answer to those people at work was, Trevor Lawrence at this point in his career knows how to read a defense and can understand what the defense is showing him before the play. And I think can audible or adjust the play call and has the freedom to do so at the line of scrimmage. Therefore putting Travis Etienne in good positions and in positions to succeed, and also can run the option because Trevor Lawrence is a big time run threat. And I think as a freshman quarterback, this kid isn't doing that. I think Dabo's sending in the play and that kid's running it.
Yeah.
So Travis Etienne is, if this works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I think that is the difference with when you get your starter back. Trevor just knowing the game, knowing how to audible out of stuff, knowing how to recognize stuff. That kid isn't there yet. But when he gets there, it's going to be ridiculous. Clemson's going to be a powerhouse.
Sorry, I forgot to add the percentages. So I'm just updating them. Phew,
all right. So that was my thoughts on that game. The only other game I will say is ESPN thought that Virginia Tech was almost a 90% favorite to beat Liberty. Me and Joe must have sniffed something in the air. We both went Liberty.
No, I knew it was closer than that. I just went with Virginia Tech because I needed to gain ground. I figured it was going to be close. I mean, Virginia Tech only lost because they missed a field goal at the end.
Yeah, it's not like Liberty blew them out of the water. Yeah.
So, but it wasn't the 88%. I also took Virginia Tech because it was a home game for them. And I was like, Liberty, we've picked them a couple times this year. And I just knew that a lot of their games were close. So I figured I gave the home team the edge there. That was my reasoning with them. A lot of my picks now are becoming because of needing to gain ground on you. Which, with the first game of Week 10 in the books, I am starting to gain ground. West Virginia beating TCU 24-6. The reason you picked TCU?
I picked TCU because of the better competition. I've seen them play well against good teams, and I don't trust West Virginia as a good team yet. That was it. That was simple.
Yeah, I picked West Virginia just because it was a home game for them.
Yeah, and it'll bite me because the West Virginia is becoming the Bears for you.
Yeah,
I keep that against West Virginia and keep getting burned. So next West Virginia game, I'm just going with them if they win.
We both picked Louisville over Virginia. Stefan and Joe went with Virginia. Right now that game's at halftime, 14-10 Virginia. So plenty of time for us there. Northwestern Purdue starts in a little bit. Joe and I are taking Purdue. You and Stefan are taking Northwestern. I think I just went with the home team. And Purdue and their like games had better chances against the same teams Northwestern did. My reason.
Yeah. I only went with Northwestern because they were really good last year and they're returning everybody. And I'll be honest, I don't know too much about Purdue. So when I saw that the game was projected to be close, I picked it because I was like, oh, ESPN and everyone else must know stuff about Purdue. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I went with Northwestern just because I don't know Purdue. I'm not going to sit here and throw out a whole bunch of stuff that I really don't know.
Yeah. Baylor, Texas Tech is going on right now. They're in the second quarter. Baylor's up 10-3. Joe's the only one that didn't go with Baylor.
Joe almost seems like he's just trying to gain ground on me because some of Joe's picks are surprising to me.
But I haven't been giving him your picks, so.
Oh, so.
Yeah.
He just seems to be going against me, and he literally went against me every single game.
Yeah. what was it last week? He flipped his pick and it burned him. So I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then SMU, Tulsa play in a little bit as well. And Joe and Stefan are taking SMU, who are 1-point favored, and ESPN is taking them 68%. I went with Tulsa just because they're a home team and I feel like they don't get as much respect as SMU.
I went with the same thought process, and I just don't think SMU is that great. I know they're ranked. Tulsa has been talked about as a clear threat to them, so I'm going with Tulsa.
And then hopefully next week we have better game selection.
It
was pretty hard. It was either blowouts or no one with a winning record.
Correct. Huh. It was really hard this week.
Interesting. It looks like Cal is taking on UCLA tomorrow. I think that's a makeup game for both of them. So they have another game because I think their games got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to see that happen. Got MAC games on Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Yeah. Fun times. Yep. A lot of games everywhere right now. if you like college football, it's like college football bowl season right now in November with games Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So only one day, and that's Tuesday. Monday, excuse me. Who knows? Maybe the Pac-12 will be like, let's throw another game in. We got to make up some of these games.
Before we move on, with the Big Ten's shortened season, if Ohio State goes undefeated, are they in the playoff? If, like, Clemson, who now has one loss, goes undefeated the rest of the year, so they have, like, a record of 11-1, does Ohio State get in ahead of them because they're, like, 8-0?
I mean, if Clemson goes undefeated for the rest of the season, that means they beat Notre Dame in the championship.
Correct.
Most
likely with Trevor Lawrence to try to prove your point that we can do it with our actual guy.
Mm-hmm. Ohio State just lost a game. I mean, it just depends on the championship game, too, I guess, who they play against in the Big Ten.
Ohio State just lost?
The game got canceled.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
They lost the game, basically.
Shortened season and a game that they don't get to play. Oh, wow. They'll have a really, really small win.
It's getting really hard for them. I think I remember overhearing something on ESPN. They were saying something like, what is the game limit where you say that's enough games? Like, is it 6, 7, 8 games needed? Like, for the Pac-12, I think it's only 7-game season, and they're already losing games. Like, so.
Yeah. No one from the Pac-12 is getting in.
No. The best shot was USC and the way they looked against Arizona State. I mean,
right. Yeah.
Maybe Oregon, but I mean, like I said, that one's a tough squeeze for them because they're not playing anyone.
I think, what if Notre Dame only has the one loss against Clemson in the championship? Are you going to deny them?
I mean,
it's going to be hard.
What about BYU? They went, if they run the table, go 12-0.
I know.
As an independent.
This one year that's going to be very difficult for the playoff people.
This is probably the toughest season. I mean, every year they say it, but I mean, look, you got Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, all undefeated. Also, you have Cincinnati, BYU, Indiana. I know they just won this year, so that's another Big Ten team to see. Maybe that's Ohio State's. Oh, Ohio State always struggles with Indiana too, so that game's going to be really interesting to watch. When do they play? Oh, they play the 21st, so next Saturday.
Next Saturday. Next week.
So that'll be on our pick.
We'll put that
there. Even though Ohio State is favored by 89%, so. But who else is undefeated here? Oregon, we mentioned. Wisconsin, they're playing their first game in a while. I think against Michigan tonight. You got Coastal Carolina 7-0, Marshall 6-0. I mean, at what point do you say, you know, how is it fair that like a team like Coastal Carolina, who's beaten top 25 teams, or a top 25 team, I should say.
I just can't. A lot of those I can't see going in because, let's say, Clemson does run it. Right. None of those teams beat Clemson.
Here's a matchup that I'm looking forward to. Because at this point, it's like a championship game. Liberty's playing Coastal Carolina, two teams that, if they go... both go undefeated. You're looking at least 10-0 teams.
Yeah.
I mean, how's it? I mean, at that point, you're definitely going to see their biases come out, and they're going to go with Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and insert big team here.
It's going to be the Alabama. Going to be the three big boys, and it's always the wild card is the fourth one. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State, like always. And then it's who can sneak in. Is it Notre Dame? Is it one of these undefeateds, like a Liberty, which we know it won't be because they're just too biased.
I'd like to see Liberty.
I'd love to see.
I feel like they're the only one. If they can beat Coastal Carolina, I'd like to see it just because I think they're the only one that would have a chance against any of the other three.
I believe so too. For those of you who may not know much about Liberty, they have a coach that coached in the SEC, and a lot of their players are SEC transfers. So Liberty is essentially an SEC team this year, rostered, like I said, by tons of SEC transfers, maybe kids who didn't cut it out in school, or maybe kids who just wanted to play with this coach. And that is why Liberty is so good this year. And having said that, SEC teams are good. I mean, Liberty, yes, they aren't technically, but they are an SEC team, and they will compete with the big boys. So I agree with you. I think it would be really interesting. It's the first time in a long time Liberty has this many four-star players on their team. Let's go that route.
It'd be kind of interesting to see, like, right now, they'd have 11 games so they'd be 11-0 because they're independent, so that'd be pretty cool to see like them take BYU on. So they're both projected to finish their seasons 12-5 that next week where they usually have those conference championships. That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
maybe help one of their cases.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Liberty this year. Fan of BYU too. I think BYU will be competitive with any of the big boys. I don't necessarily think they're going to win, but let's just call it my almost upsets. I think Liberty could almost upset one of the big boys, and I think BYU could too.
Yeah.
obviously, with all the five-star recruiting and the coaching, Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson. Well, we saw Clemson lose, but typically Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson are going to be a cut above.
And it all just comes down to if we can play these games.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, with what's going on in college football, is it making it interesting because it has hurt the big boys a little bit and closed the gap? I'm sick of seeing Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State just be that much better than everybody else.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it for this episode.
Let's go.
Next week, we will try and do another stream.
And then next week, same exact thing. Probably do a little bit of a preview of week 11 and a little recap of week 10 in the NFL and college football. And if we get our special guest, Stefania, he can talk about his NASCAR championship. Until then, I'm going to keep throwing shots. So listen up, Steph.
Oh, no. Oh, man. My button's broken. It's giving me an exclamation point. Oh, that would have been perfect. All right. Well, I guess other than that, Corey.
I love you!
And until next week. It's always cool. Yeah. I'm adding more sound clips if you haven't noticed.
Happy with it.